Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
God's word for our strength, for our guidance, for our nourishment this Sunday morning might seem kind of out of place, because I'm not going to bring in the gospel lesson. I'm not going to talk about the epistle lesson. But I'm going to talk about these few words from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young pastor. And, you know, you could probably say he was wet behind the ears, just graduated from seminary, doesn't know a heck of a lot of things to do as a pastor among his people. And here is Paul. Paul, who used to be Saul, who persecuted the church. God turned him. Jesus turned him. 180 degrees. And now he's proclaiming God's word. And here to Timothy, toward the end of the first letter to Timothy at the 6th chapter, here's what Paul says as he writes to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever and ever. Amen. God's word for our consideration this morning. You know, it's something when you ask a question and you want to respond real quickly. But I want to ask you this question and I want you to think about it. What brings you contentment? What brings you contentment in life? What brings you contentment now? As we look through the Old Testament, and the Old Testament kings from David and Saul and Solomon, all the way to Herod the Great, each one wanted contentment. Each one devised it in his own way. David, he saw Bathsheba, and he felt that he would be content if he had Bathsheba as his wife. Solomon felt it was content to have the wisdom of the Lord. But he took it a few steps further, and each king after him was more wicked and more looking at oneself than all the others. Until we reach the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ himself. Because this Jesus is the King. This Jesus sacrificed himself willingly on the cross to give us forgiveness of sins, to give us eternal life, and to bring the contentment into our lives, not through earthly means, not through all of those kinds of toys that we have, not because we drive big trucks, we live in mansions, we have great and glorious jobs, we make loads and loads of money, we have so many kids, and we have grandkids. And some people have great grandkids. And we seem to put all of that into our little box and says that that gives us contentment. We don't want to step out of that box. We don't want to even look outside of that box because we feel that our walls are going to fall down and we will be less content. And yet God comes to us through the Apostle Paul, through this apostle that wanted to destroy the church, wanted to destroy all the faith in all the people because they had it all wrong. And Jesus turns him, tells him how much he's going to suffer for his name's sake. And this apostle brings these words of wisdom to this young pastor, that he doesn't look inside himself and see that contentment is everything, every physical thing that he has, but to look to Jesus Christ and him alone, that in Jesus he has contentment. In Jesus he has all things that he needs. Life eternal. And we celebrate that life eternal today. And every day of our lives. Every day is a day of Easter. Every day is looking inside us and seeing that faith and that hope that grabs hold of Jesus. Because that's where our hope lies, is in Jesus, because he is the one who walks with us. He is the one who's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We grab hold of him each and every day. Because the world that we're living in is spinning out of control. And it's been spinning out of control for a number of years. But over the last few years, we've seen hopelessness grab the hearts of people. We've seen, because of COVID, families separated. Families dying apart from each other. We have seen the nastiness. We've often beheld the nastiness. And so our world continues to spin out of control. We look for someone who has control of all things. And that's Jesus. Jesus has control. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his one and only son. God gave his one and only son into death, so that you would live for all eternity. That's what we grab hold of. Even though the world is hopeless and is steaming and losing control and living in that hopelessness. My father used to say, you know, the cup isn't half full, it's half empty. I continue to look and say, gee, Dad, that's wrong. Because the cup is half full. Or should I say, the cup is fully full and flowing over with God's riches and God's grace and God's mercy. That's what God has for us today, to join in celebration of this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who fills us with hope, that fills us with his gifts of peace. And as the Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Apostle Paul is talking with you. He's talking to you as you have made your vow to follow him. Do you remember that? I'm sure husbands and wives, you're going to remember the vows that you made. Right? To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. Till death do you part. Did you remember the confirmation vow that you took in front of the altar? when you made a vow to follow Jesus Christ and Him only, that no matter what happened in your life, you will continue to believe and follow Him? I'm sure we remember those vows. Those are the tough vows to make, to follow Jesus, no matter what happens. No matter if there's strife, no matter if there's sickness, no matter if there's death and dying and people struggling. That's the vow that we have taken, to follow Jesus as Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul is instructing this young pastor to do, is to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life in which you were called. And you were called into that faith as well. When the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God grabbed hold of you and told you right to your face that He would not leave you nor forsake you. And He pointed to the cross, saying, see, my Son died for you. And on Easter morning, He rose again from the dead to give you life everlasting and forgiveness of sins, to live in that life and hope even when your world seems to be falling apart. A few years ago, I'm going to say probably 2014 or 2015, all of a sudden, when I woke up, I was dizzy. I was lightheaded. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't sit and stand up without my world spinning around me. I went to doctor after doctor after doctor. Couldn't find out what was going on until I sat down with my personal doctor and he said, Scott, you're over medicated. I go, oh my goodness. He says, if it looks like a duck and if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. We can get spinning out of control in our personal lives. And we don't know what's going on until we look at Jesus. And He's the one who spins us around and sits us down and says that we are all right because He died for us and rose again to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. So Paul comes to you this day to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life into which you were called. In Christ's holy name, amen.